Good morning. Today is Thursday, July 28th, 2016. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners, County Administration Workshop, and 9 a.m. And we have with us the treasurer for a report this morning, item 1A, on order number 2016-030 in the matter of uncollectible personal property taxes.
Okay, so on the uncollectible, that's our annual, should be one of our processes to clean up the tax roll. We've done a lot of work on these collections. We don't just willy-nilly say, okay, I don't want to collect from this guy. There's been a lot of collection work done on these. None of these are written off until I can convince assessment or the owners of the property have convinced assessment that it is no longer a viable account and they have deleted it. And even you can tell, I don't know if you can tell in here, but for us, even after they're deleted off the tax, off of the assessment roll, we'll still work them for a year or two to make sure that we cannot find the person. We've hounded them to death. They're ignoring us. They've either gone bankrupt or, as in most of the personal property mobiles, they're gone, they're deleted, they're trash sitting on somebody's property. They're not on the assessment roll, and they can't collect from them. They're just totally uncollectible. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of work.
This is just on the personal property?
Personal business and personal mobiles, which means the mobile home or the manufactured structure doesn't, the owner doesn't own the land. And I know on six or seven of the manufactured structure, those are actually location unknowns where they just disappeared. Mm-hmm. Whether it's because they've been moved out of county, moved from one place to the next, we haven't found them, or they've just been demolished too. Mm-hmm. The one with the oldest one, or the most years, that's been a location, or a, not a location unknown, but a an abandonment. The owner just walked away. The landowner said, how can I get rid of this? And there is a process that they can do for that, and they have to give notice to assessor, to tax, to the owner. They have a 45-day waiting period. It's giving them 45 days to come get their stuff. If not, they're going to, depending on the value, if it's under $8,000, then they can demolish it. But then a lot of times, too, it just, even after that abandonment, it just sits there because the landowner doesn't have the money to demolish it. So it just sits there and rots. And then assessment finally says, okay, it's worthless. Take it off the roll. Or we can find it. Write it off.
These are fine, but from my standpoint, and I don't form policy for the your office, but looking at the values that were, you know, the dollars that are the impacts of the county, mm-hmm. and knowing full well that none of the other taxing districts compensate you for your time or the assessor's office for your time, it's all general fund or fee-based. Don't spend too much time on spending $2 to chase a dollar or less, because it's 8%, I guess, 8.2 including the bond, and I'm looking at $1,300, $1,500 including fees. Mm-hmm. So you know that.
Once I realize, it's just like, okay, it's uncollectible. We're getting nothing out of this guy. He's going to ignore us. We can, hound him
move
to
on.
A certain point. Exactly.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
But we also have to wait to write these off until we can convince assessment.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's writing it off, and we're back right on the next year.
Right.
So.
Assessment is the same kind of an argument, and Connie isn't here, but talking about, for the time you're spending on this, it's time you're not going out and doing, new assessments on value you could capture and depreciate over the life of that asset. So, anyways, I'm sure those are all considerations, Connie, but we don't want to perpetuate people to just work the system.
And
be challenging, and then they don't have to pay their taxes.
And we get to a point, too, where we've looked at this, we've tried to collect it, and it's like assessment, please go out and look again.
Right.
Can we just kill this and get rid of it? And
well, good.
I think you guys are a great team working together.
So, but thank you.
Okay. We can move this forward, how you think.
And I'll speak to it if you want, or you can. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
you're available, that's fine. Yeah. If not.
Yeah, so the timing was, so okay, I can be there.
Okay, great.
For this one.
Okay, all right. Well, no, this needs to be on the admin. Okay, item 1B, this is the Treasurer Semi-Annual Meeting, and that was what I was going to ask you. What is the format? Is there a specified format for how you have to do the report?
And no, there's not a specified format. There are required information that right. I'm supposed to put in it, and that is outlined in the investment policy of okay. what you guys I'm supposed to be giving to you. Mm-hmm. And that's also, some of it is guided by the ORSs too, of mm-hmm. what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I basically kind of followed what John had.
Yeah.
Cut it down a lot. But if there is, I have the quarter and the semi-annual here on the second page. It has year-to-date and then mm-hmm. the last one. And that's basically the amounts of money in each category that where it's kept and stuff. The chart here, I have several different charts. This is the one I like best because it basically shows what the interest rates are or what the returns are.
And reoccurring issues. So if you look at the chart with the valley, reoccurring every December.
Mm-hmm.
And is that something that's avoidable? Or is that...
No. What happens is because I have all this money collected in November and it's all paid out in December. So my investment returns drop because it's all out of our pool at that time, because all tax money goes into the pool, and that's included in this.
But that's not total value of the fund. It's the percentage rate of return, I thought. I must be wrong.
Well, and it does have, it kind of, it does have a little bit of an, you have to figure this is just.
So you probably get a higher return based on the amount that you have in the fund.
Because
if you have less money, you're not capturing that kind of
thing. Well, yeah, it should stay pretty stable, but the fees also, okay. But there's less money, the return seems less because of the fees. It always drives me nuts. And the fees are really pretty minimal, but
yeah.
The return, the yields and stuff do have a lot to do with when my investments mature and how much money is in the pool and stuff.
What's interesting about this chart that I was looking at is if you take that and you put it into your own investment portfolio or whatever, you're capturing 25 basis points as opposed to, you didn't even have to capture those on other investment pools. So we're really taking a very close look, and that's why you're seeing these anomalies.
Yeah,
if you were doing it as regular investment charts, you wouldn't even see this. It would just be this kind of flat line down in the middle of zero almost because of the restrictions you have and how conservative you have to be. So it's fine.
And the pool did just jump yesterday to 0.92. I just get up there, I was like, whoa. But and I'm pretty conservative too about the investments that I have out there. I only keep about $6 to $7 million out in a 3-year ladder.
Mm-hmm.
All the rest stays in the pool because it's pretty tight. The investments, most of them, you can see on this sheet, the investment in cash and other accounts. I'm at 1, and 1.2 is my highest, and the pool now is 0.92. So it makes sense to keep it liquid because there's not that much extra return for keeping that money out there and keeping it tied up.
Yeah.
So.
And that's not just our money. You're investing it for all of the districts?
No, that's just our money. The districts, basically, I have to have an investment sign off for them, an authorization to invest their money. But basically, that is just while I have it in the
right.
pool, while I'm keeping it for the month, and then it goes out at the end of the month,
right.
or at the beginning of the month.
So they sign off on that your ability to do mm-hmm. that?
I have to have everybody's authorization to invest their funds. Basically, they're just invested in the pool because that's where I hold them.
Yeah.
The investments that I purchased.
Did they get that revenue? Or?
Oh, yeah, they get the interest. Yeah, they get their interest.
Serious capacity for reform in this. I mean, we're doing all of this work and investing it for them, and yes. then they get the interest off of it.
Yeah. I'm very lucky that we only basically have our money that we hold and invest, mm-hmm. where a lot of counties throughout the state have to basically invest for all the districts. They still hold their money all month long and write checks out of it and pay their bills. And
I'm
not kidding.
Oh, no way.
A lot of the small districts.
You basically act as a bank for them. Mm-hmm. And get no benefit.
So, right. So very lucky with us that we only take care of ourselves. I send everybody else's money out.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to do the work for you.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
And then the quarterly statistics basically have, I can actually add quarters to that if you want to see that. I just usually do the fiscal year and the quarter that we're in so you can see where we're at. Permitted investments, that's a required one. And our foreclosure history. You wanted to see something else in particular?
I'll think about it, or I'll come down and
I can show
do
you.
That thing I've been threatening to do for 4 years of going over this in greater detail with you.
I see that there's a pig in the python. 2014 year of foreclosure.
Actually, no. Those have all paid out.
Have they?
Yes. That 171 that was also Paradise, and all but 14 have paid out.
Good.
So, okay. If anything, that does not deed until January of 17, and so we may end up with the golf course.
So what would be left is the golf course.
Golf course, yeah, and then a few other personal, but that's about it, yeah.
Oh, Jefferson County Golf Course, right next to the airport.
Yeah,
lovely.
The
managed golf course.
Perfect.
All right, very good. Anything else you want to ask?
Okay. No, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eve. Appreciate it. Department business, building maintenance. We have Ryan. I understand we have a...
It's a contract with Lawless
yes.
Roofing.
Yes.
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 Oh, we're ready to go.
Lawless Roofing for the that. Washington Annex.
Yes.
How old is the roof that's on there?
It's over 20 years old. And it's been a high maintenance roof. The drains that were installed, it wasn't done correctly, so it's been a battle through that 20 years. So we're happy to get it changed.
It was a different contractor.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. So when is this going to be done?
We're looking at the end of August, beginning of September.
Oh, okay. Right.
We're also going to be removing the chimney that's sticking up.
It doesn't connect to anything anymore?
No. So I'll save the seismic concerns mm-hmm. by removing it.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
Can you talk to Nate Caravan about this?
Just for a few minutes.
Okay, good. Because he had mentioned that he hadn't. We passed in the hallway, and I just said, oh, you're getting a new roof, and he hadn't heard about that. So just crossing.
Yeah, I talked to him end of last week, and we're going to touch base before it kicks off.
Good. Staging areas
staging,
and all that
parking,
stuff.
All that kind of worked out.
Okay.
And taking care of that roof. Great. All right.
Do you want to talk to him? Wrong number on you.
What was I going to say? Oh, this is a
we're talking about
calendar.
The roof.
Yeah, this is a consent calendar item, but I have no problem talking to it. It's in the budget, or
yeah.
approved.
Yeah. So, well, we'll just put it in consent, and then you can just address
yeah,
it however
happy to.
Much you need to at
happy
that time.
To.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
You.
Move
thanks.
Forward next Wednesday.
Good one job. Of the nuances to this is it is a Foley because it's over 50,000.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All righty. Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Okay, the next one, item 2B, agreement number 31365 with the Oregon Department of Transportation, automatic vehicle locator system.
So Scott isn't here, but he talked about this last week when he was here. and it's actually been an ongoing thing. He applied for a grant. It's something similar to what RBT just put in, but he did it for like half the cost, mm-hmm. a tenth of the cost. And so I don't know if we want to wait for him. Arthur isn't here either.
You know, I don't think we need to. He talked about it when he was in here, and yeah. I don't think there's anything that he can add to it. We know what it is, but if you want to address it at the meeting,
I'm happy
since this is it's a new grant.
Detailed, like a little paragraph, and spell out anything that we missed.
Okay.
Give it greater detail.
Okay. So we'll move
before
it to
Scott
the.
Comes in.
We can move it to the admin.
Yeah.
Agenda next week, and
right.
you can address it.
A new agreement. You're
and he talked about it when he was here before, so no need for him to come back in and do that.
Good deal.
Okay. Public Works, resolution number 2016-052, the matter of granting the vacation of a portion of Almeda Street, a public right of way, and a report and recommendation.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Great.
This is our second meeting on this particular item. I'm recommending approval of the vacation with one condition that an easement be placed over the existing right-of-way. There's power through there, so we would need to keep an easement at least to allow the utilities to continue their access through there.
Do you know what the plan of the property owner would be for, I mean, are they going to like move fences, or is it just going to keep to be a thoroughfare and they're going to block it off?
He wants to put gates up.
Okay.
Yeah. I believe that's
correct.
Yeah.
So gates would allow for continued access.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Okay. All right.
It's not complicated.
No.
It just seems like a good thing to do to divest ourselves of that maintenance and
mm-hmm.
stuff. So, cool.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Move this forward?
Yeah.
All right. Do you want them to come in or do you want to address it?
I think I can talk to it unless you...
You know, everybody that fronts it wants it.
Yeah, right.
And if somebody speaks against it, I would be surprised.
I would be too, and we could address it at that time.
Okay.
What do we do if somebody speaks and say, wait a second, I've been using that for the last 10 years to go visit my grandma?
There are ways around.
Yeah, it's not a... not an absolute, the only access to the thoroughfare.
Yeah.
So, okay. We'll figure it out.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
And move this one forward. And put it on the admin. Mr. Hare, we'll speak to that one. Okay, emergency services. We have a personal services contract with Wild End Fire Associates for the completion of the Josephine County Integrated Fire Plan. We have Jenny all this morning.
Good morning.
I just want to note that we're almost halfway through this agenda, and I am here, and we can make, and a lot of these are my issues, so we're just...
Well, I'm glad we're moving right along, because I have to leave at 11:15.
So. Oh, we'll be done by
then. Okay, Jenny, sorry. Go ahead.
We had discontinued our previous contract. We ran into a few challenges with the update of our fire plan. I've been working with Commissioner Hare, who's kind of assigned to the fire plan. We did an RFQ working with legal. We found a new contractor that we liked very much, and we actually had kind of a meet and greet interview, discussed the project with them last week. Commissioner Hare and I were both very satisfied. We drafted a contract, and so we'd like the board to sign the contract. I also consulted with Arthur from finance to ensure that we had adequate funding for the project, and we do.
Utilizing Title III dollars to pay for this, and frankly, we have with the last extension of Secure Rural Schools and the last two appropriations, we're not looking to open it up for new projects. As the criteria for spending Title III hasn't changed. We have good projects to do that have already been approved by the board. We're just reassigning that money. So there is plenty of money for this project. And unfortunately, the previous contractor, we just weren't clear from the beginning maybe about our expectations and how we saw this project being finalized to completion. And so that was one of the steps that I wanted to make sure before we signed this contract, that we had a robust conversation about the county's expectations for seeing this through. And I think we're all on the same page. We had members of the executive committee that will oversee this whole project through to completion. And so just kind of spent almost 2 hours really going over everything we thought that the plan ought to include and what it shouldn't. And So I think we're going to be well served. One of the challenges is going to be that Jackson County was a partner in the last version, the last project. They're not technically a partner yet, but they did have a representative at the table for that discussion. So they kind of heard where we were going, and our expectation, we hope, is that we're developing a plan that's of regional significance and in nature. So, because we're very similar, we share a lot of those fire issues with them. So that's the goal. They're meeting tomorrow. No. Next Thursday on this issue, August 4th,
yeah.
And we might have some resolve to where they'll enter into their own separate contract, but for a similar type of agreement.
This is 8 months, so this is going to be finished in 8 months?
Yes.
That's our goal.
Yeah.
I think we've got a good foundation. It's just putting it together in the package we wanted. They're going through the assessment of all that's been done already, mm-hmm. and then we'll kind of refine the scope of work about how to see this through to completion.
And so, in fact, there is a scope of work in the contract mm-hmm. that you're being asked to sign. However, it is expected that I will be coming back to you with a revised scope of work and asking you to sign mm-hmm. that as well. Because we want the contractors, who are really the experts in this arena, to sift through all of the data that we have, what we've collected and written thus far, and help us develop that roadmap for how to complete the plan.
So some of these things may already be done, or things not done need to be put in here. Is that what you're saying once
there
you get through the review?
Things. There may be stuff that's not really necessary,
okay.
But yeah,
right.
It'll be refined.
Sure, and if you look specifically at some of the tasks, they very clearly say that the task will be either further defined or rewritten after their completion of our document review and the report that comes to us. So I guess I wanted to mention that because I will be coming back asking for a contract modification, but I believe that it's in the county's best interest to do it this way.
So they're going to look at the original 2005
right.
CWPP, and then they're going to look at the risk assessment, the draft that was kind of put together, and see the inadequacies and then kind of try to fill in the holes.
Okay.
And do some new stuff that we've kind of asked for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't have a problem. Move it to Wednesday.
Yeah.
Do you want Jenny
I'll
to come?
You.
Okay.
That'd
Jenny will be there,
sure.
And this will be on the admin also. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I know that's been kind of an easy thing.
Yeah, it's been floundering kind of and a stressor for Jenny, mm-hmm. but hopefully will be taken off of her plate. It's really not her responsibility to write this thing, and we were caught between, you know, what do we do? She's
yeah.
either going to have to sit down and write it. It's not in her job description, but we're going to have to hire somebody
yeah.
to take and clean up.
Yeah, that's the right
thank
thing.
You very much.
That's the right thing.
Part.
Thank you, Jenny. Okay, airports. We have several things here.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Just refresh this heck.
Good. Okay. Yeah, I guess you heard you might get a golf course. No one.
Yeah, right. That's it. Yeah. I'm looking for my Carl hat, you know, from Caddyshack, so I can go out there.
You know,
dynamite groundhogs.
When you figure it out, I got plenty of them in my place.
Yeah. Very true.
You got enough stuff you want.
Okay, airports, E1. This is the master consulting agreement with WH Pacific for environmental engineering design and engineering construction services
yes.
the FAA AIP project at the GP airport. So that's this one, $300,000, correct?
Yeah, and actually, there's not a dollar figure per se associated with these master consulting agreements. It's simply a five-year agreement that we will use them exclusively for our engineering consulting over the next, you know, for that particular airport. And then the dollar figures are attached to the individual task orders that come in for each individual project. So
and those are usually grant funded and
yeah.
a portion of that.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, our risk with any of these is extends to our match money and then liability for malpractice or whatever. But
so there's two things. Is there a discount? You know, if you pick an exclusive contractor for any other kind of service, sometimes they'll give you a good deal because they're the game in town that you're going to be using. And second, like with our auditor, we go out for a new auditor every 3 years is the standard practice, I guess. You don't have to, but it's a good idea. I'm not so sure that applies to an engineer who actually knows they developed our 20-year plan for the airport. So, you know, they're not having to review that. They did all the engineering. They did all the assessment.
They know it.
The groundwork.
Yeah.
So why would you go with a different I'm just asking this question as kind of a devil's advocate.
Sure. Well, I'll give you a good example. I'll give you a good example. I made a bit of a change this year for these services because we've always used WA Pacific exclusively for all county airports jobs at both airports. WH has gone through some changes in the last year, and they've lost some key personnel, one to retirement, one was poached by a competitor. It's a fairly small, tight-knit community of engineering services providers, and they're all very good. But what we did this year was run an RFQ, a request for qualifications, and then we received statements of qualifications from four different companies. And I had a committee of people from each airport taken from the advisory board and also Rob Brandis of Public Works. And we went through all four of these submittals from the two different companies and scored them.
Okay.
And so I have a series of objective metrics that,
right.
that we've scored both of these companies on. And I made a decision to lighten the load of WH Pacific, essentially, because they were struggling. It was obvious to me that they were having problems just responding, getting back to me with answers to questions, and being able to support everything that we need because they were running with a skeleton crew. And
maybe their expectation when we signed this contract 5 years ago, I was here, we did the layout plan and all that stuff, but if they were going based on historic, you know, practice of the airport, nothing really got done for the previous 5 years.
Oh, things have changed a lot in the last couple of years.
I kept them busy.
I kept them very busy.
Wait a second.
You're doing something different than you used to do.
Well, and there was a sense of that as well. I mean, they were
catch them off guard.
Yes.
We maybe need to hire somebody. If you're going to keep hammering us with projects all the time, we're not ready for that.
Yeah, and I think that may be a good way of characterizing it. I think they were. You know, it was a significant project to do the runway rehabilitation and the lighting upgrade at Grants Pass Airport. They did the master plan upgrades.
Right.
They were involved in the perimeter fence at Illinois Valley Airport, which was a long, drawn-out affair because it was challenged at every step. And you know, but they basically had, if you want to call the master plan updates for each airport, and then the runway upgrade and the fence, they had four major projects over a five-year span that they did for us. And they did a good job. It wasn't always smooth, and we had a few dropped balls here and there, but
sure.
I could say that about both sides of the equation. I mean, you know, I don't always meet all my deadlines either, just there's too much to do. So I get all that. But this was an opportunity, that's the way I looked at it, to at no cost to us, essentially, maybe lighten the load of WH and give us an opportunity to evaluate the performance of another engineering services firm, which is highly reputable. And so we hired, Precision Approach Engineering for all the Illinois Valley projects that are in the pipeline to be coming up in the next 5 years. And I would like to hire WH Pacific to continue the two projects that they're already involved with, actually three, at Grants Pass Airport, and bring those to completion, and then move forward with the construction phase of our taxiway, which would be the fourth project over the next 5 year period. And that's plenty, you know.
Well, I think I'm confused.
Okay.
You just said that you hired somebody.
I know. You guys are going to hire them, but
no,
but,
I mean,
yeah.
But your expectation is to hire somebody, so it's different than WH Pacific.
Yes. Yes.
So it's a master consulting agreement for the Grants Pass Airport?
Yes.
That's what this one is.
Yeah. And WH would be the master consulting agreement, and then task order one for WH would be the state-funded environmental and engineering design services that's going on right now at that airport. And then
specific expertise, what was the other company?
Precision Approach.
Precision Approach has
engineering
for
Yes.
EIB Airport?
Yes. They actually may actually be better qualified than WH Pacific at this point in time. And they rated very highly. They ranked number one in the selection process where we had objective, you know,
does it make sense scoring. To go with them if they're so highly rated? Because it seems that WH Pacific doesn't have a competitive advantage having developed the airport layout plan, just done the fence project, which is, you know, you touch ground every 10 feet. You did all 7 or 12 assessments. I mean, it seems as though they would know that like the back of their hand, airport.
They do.
How do they not have it? If WH Pacific doesn't have that competitive, but that doesn't put them as the lead contractor having that competitive advantage.
They don't have the bandwidth to support the upcoming projects at both airports.
Is that like the industrial park kind of development?
Yes, and there's going to be a medium intensity runway lighting upgrade. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a runway rehabilitation in addition to the current projects, which are on the what we call the CIP, the Capital Improvement
right.
Plan, which is a rolling 5-year plan that gets updated every year. Okay. Now, WH is working hard to upgrade their own personnel, but they haven't gotten there yet. And I'm working with an engineer who was on the job at Grants Pass 5-6 years ago, and then left WH and was hired back by WH when they lost two of their primary people. And the two people that we interfaced with the most, James Kirby and Randy Krukenberg, they were basically our entire interface with WH Pacific, and then Reince Anderson above them. Reince is working only part-time now. He's nearing retirement, and Randy and James are both gone. So there's no corporate history or corporate knowledge about Josephine County Airports left anymore with WH Pacific, other than with Reince Anderson.
Well, I endorse the idea of having two engineering firms. If something happens with one, you know, you're kind of all your nuts are in one bucket.
That's kind of the
you can and
it felt that way too.
And we're special because we do have two airports. You know, you don't want to be left out to dry when you have requirements to meet deadlines for. You know, they wanted your engineering on that Eastside taxiway done probably yesterday. You know, the money's coming down the queue, and stuff
you
happens.
Yep, exactly.
You don't want to be left with a bump in the road. Okay.
Right. Yeah, I think the benefits far outweigh the disadvantages of having to deal with two separate companies.
Yeah.
And keeping everything straight, in my head and then the head of our administrator. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a new administrator coming on board next week, full-time, and that's going to be a godsend, let me tell you. There'll be a transition period, but that'll be really helpful. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Move this forward.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you going to be able to come next Wednesday to talk to address all these? Okay.
I will.
Right, because I think it's important, because of the continuity between what these are, to explain what this consulting agreement is and then the difference with having the engineering and design. We're not duplicating.
Correct.
That's going to be important for people to understand.
Correct. Right? Yeah, and we're not duplicating. However, having two different companies, as Simon pointed out, will be of an advantage in case one of them needs to drop out for any reason. Then we'll have someone that can.
Well, one could back the other up too. If there's any kind of a situation, like if we had an emergency situation too, there's always two.
And in terms of dollar figures, the task orders for each of these companies are. I have them in the pipeline, I don't have. I have signed copies of the master consulting agreement with PAE with me right now, and there's a few more tweaks that we need to make. Wally's comments to me about the master consulting agreement with WH indicate that we might want to have them increase their insurance requirements. We might want to increase the insurance requirements for them, and then the dollar figures for each task order will be no more than what we already have in here. So about $300,000 for WH on task order one and about $400,000 for Precision Approach on their task order number one at the Illinois Valley. So keeping all this straight is it'll become automatic pretty soon, but it's a bit of a challenge.
So if we move this forward, you will have those contracts ready? Like
yes. Yes, I will.
Legal will have those ready?
Legal will have them ready. They will have been reviewed as to legal form and correctness, and they will be signed. I've got one set here with me. WH is sending theirs overnight, so I'll have that tomorrow as well. Yeah.
We should have about, and the title should be a master consulting agreement for Grants Pass for WH, right?
Yes.
That would be clearer for me, because when you say master, based on the last one, it was for both airports. It's just clear.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll change it so it matches the language of item 3, for example. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Tomorrow, contracts have to be here. We'll put it on Wednesday.
Which title are you changing?
Number 1. So it'll be Master Consulting Agreement with WH Pacific for Environmental Engineering Design and Engineering Construction Services at Grants Pass Airport, or performed at the Grants Pass Airport.
It already says that on number 1.
It says it on here.
Oh, it does.
It just doesn't have it on
there. It's in a different order. It just says of the FAA AIP projects at the Grants Pass Airport.
Okay, and I guess I left off the FAA AIP projects at the Illinois Valley Airport.
I was reading your worksheet title page, and it didn't have that there. So okay. No, that's clear.
But Jerry got it right when she
number 3
says
Illinois Valley Airport.
Yeah, she got it right.
That's right.
So, and it's actually,
okay. Titles are okay.
Yeah, I think the titles are fine because not only FAA AIP projects, but also our state-funded projects. I mean, they're providing engineering services for those as well. So, you know, like our Connect Oregon 5 for the weather station and Connect Oregon 6 for the emergency power generators at each airport. So Pacific or WH will be doing one and you know, Precision Approach will be doing the other. Which is fine.
Okay, item 2 is the task order with WH Pacific for the Environmental and Engineering Design Services on the Grants Pass Taxiway, Airport Taxiway.
Yep. Now, this is a state-funded grant. This is our Regional Solutions grant, which was given to us in 2014 but won't be funded until 2017. So I'm working with IFA to get a bridge loan so that we can actually do the environmental determination and the engineering design and have it completed prior to the FAA offering us the construction grant, which they've pulled it up in their CIP because they saw that we were doing this. And it was so important to us that and to the state, that we went out, sought state funding. We were given the state funding, and so the FAA said, okay, fine, we'll give you the construction money. And that's going to be $2.1 million coming in for construction in next fiscal year. Mm-hmm. So we need to be ready to go to bid in May of 2017 for those construction services. And you can't go to bid without having an environmental determination and the engineering design complete.
Right.
So this task order will complete the environmental and the engineering design all the way through creating a bid package and running the bid process and selection of the construction company.
So your need was roughly $500,000 is what we asked for. We were appropriated initially $425,000 and 80% of that. You were down to like 344.
Yeah.
And I see this is 282.
Yep. So what happened between 344 and 282 was that the FAA made the determination that we did not have to do a full-blown environmental assessment, which is a minimum of $150,000. So we're going to do what's called a categorical exclusion documentation. Mm-hmm. That costs $10,000 perhaps in labor and so we saved quite a bit of money. So now I have a $344,000 grant, of which I'm only going to spend about $282,000. Okay, so I have other things that need to be done at the airport, and I'm exploring options with Alex Campbell, Jeff Griffin's replacement.
Yeah.
And I already, just if you don't mind talking about this for a second, I want to give you the background.
Yeah, we're having a regional solutions meeting.
I need $48,000 right now to restripe the Grants Pass Airport runway to accommodate the brand new instrument approach that we have gotten from them. Mm-hmm. And that's the last long pole in the tent. I mean, I had to have certified weather. We knocked that out. We had to have an AGIS obstruction survey. Knocked that out. Now we have to have the runway restriped. I don't know why we didn't stripe it correctly 5 years ago when we did the whole dig out and rehab, but that's, you know, spilt milk. So we have to have $48,000 worth of complete removal of all paint and then repaint the whole thing for this GPS WAS non-precision approach. I approached Regional Solutions and I said, you have given me $344,000.
Yeah.
the legislature's approved that much money. I'm only going to spend $282. Can I have some of that $62,000 surplus that we can spend any way we want, you know, to repaint the runway? I don't know. I'll have to think about it, you know. And they came back and said, the grant you received was a planning and design grant. Spending money to repaint the runway is construction grant. We can't mix the dollars. So they shut me down there. Now we have the opportunity to add $20,000 of a planning grant for the Civil West airport study.
Great.
Add the airport to it. Perhaps we can convince Regional Solutions to let us modify the grant so that we include this Civil West study, mm-hmm. Because I really want water and septic at the airport to accommodate future growth out there.
I think that makes a lot of sense. That mm-hmm. that you can. Mm-hmm.
And if you can sell that for me at your Regional Solutions meeting,
I think that's doable.
You'll be my hero. So that would be.
And that is the actual estimate we got was like $19,900
or something. Yeah, so $20,000. That's the addendum that they
mm-hmm. sent. That's the addendum. You have you received the addendum?
I haven't read it yet, but I have.
Okay, so that is for plan. That was for planning because we have actually, I started to say rapidly have reached the extent of the capacity. We've exceeded it. The septic has failed how many times?
Well, yeah.
The water's failed.
I've rebuilt it twice just since I've been here.
So
in 5 years.
We've hit that point to where, and we can't bring in the water till we have the sewer, and here's our opportunity to do the sewer so we can
do it right. You know, include it, have it completely planned out correctly for future, to accommodate future growth. And I've already met with Hamir Lopez via teleconference. He's mm-hmm. the Civil West engineer. We're going to get together, do a tour of the airport. I've sent him a copy of the airport layout plan, so he sees what the future growth potential is for that airport, which I think if we had all these barriers to development, you know, eliminated, that airport would already be much larger than it is in terms of economic activity, and we'd have more commercial hangars, we'd have all kinds of stuff going on out there. Because we have constant demand. I have zero unoccupied space at that airport. And the moment somebody leaves, somebody else moves in. It's just, I've never had a single month of loss of revenue from any hangar at the airport.
Yeah, you know. No problem.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you would get that.
Sure. I don't know that.
You say you've received it. I've seen
the draft engineering report, mm-hmm. and I don't know that that includes the.
No, it doesn't. The draft engineering report that you've received, which Rob brought in the other day and gave you at that meeting, okay, there is an addendum to add this study to that Civil West contract.
All right. Yeah.
And so.
Do you mind forwarding that?
Yeah, I haven't scheduled it for a meeting because we need to know if we're going to be able to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, if you could get
regional, we want to support it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We hope Regional Solutions says so. You can bring it to a meeting.
Yeah.
Even though, you know,
I'd be happy to.
Because we didn't want to try to incorporate it into Civil West contracts until we thought we could get the money for it, because then Civil West would have the expectation of getting paid.
Frankly, at the end of the day, we're going to find a way to pay for it.
We will find a way mm-hmm. to pay for it. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So bring it to us.
And
I think
since we're talking
kind of
about
sale.
That, a bake sale, right? I did do a little research in our master plan, and I went to Chapter 5 of our airport layout plan for Grants Pass. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Sheet 9, and I just bought 10 more copies of each airport's master plan because I've been giving them away for projects like these. Mm-hmm. Sheet 9, Chapter 5, shows the airport property map. And the interesting thing about the lots that are along Brookside Boulevard, where we were doing some test holes for septic, et cetera, there are a few residential lots in there, and they're sort of interspersed with the county property, which is light industrial, community light industrial, CLI. Okay, the FAA bought those lots for us in 1987 with a grant that we received, and it was AIP grant number one at Grants Pass Airport. There had been other properties purchased with ADAP funds back in the 70s and 80s, but in 1987 these five lots were purchased using grant money, and so they're encumbered to a degree, by the fact that FAA money was used to purchase those lots. They will not object to anything that is at or below grade level on those lots or even on the airport property itself. So we could put Cheyenne Mountain, you know, underneath the airport, and it wouldn't be an issue for the FAA as far as approach protection and runway protection zone and all that stuff. However, if we were to want to develop those lots and put commercial businesses on them, whether, you know, stores or warehouses or whatever you can imagine, we would probably run into a problem with the FAA.
So you couldn't put in some sort of like a processing facility, a warehouse? I mean, there's probably, there's that.
Well, there's the 40-to-1.
40-to-1.
Which, when you extend that out from the origin of the 40-to-1, which is at the beginning of the runway protection zone outward, you can build stuff 25 feet high out in that area, okay? A tilt-up warehouse would probably just barely fit in something like that, okay? However, because they were purchased as approach protection zones.
Yeah, they're not gonna.
Yeah, they're really gonna balk at us putting anything above ground, in there. So other than like a fence to, to keep the rabble out. So, however, I think since the land is encumbered and potentially valueless, other than as a protection for the final approach course, the benefit to us of being able to use those lots for these Orenco step systems, which are at or below grade level, if they meet all the other requirements and don't create a wetland and a wildlife attraction hazard and all that stuff, that's a winner.
Okay.
It really is. So.
Great.
From what I've read on those systems, if it's done properly and you decide to sprinkle the effluent, it depends on what stage you...
Water your golf course. Well, I mean, they claim that it's gray water that's discharged from these things. So
it should not create a wetland because of the space that you have. If you were just, we're not ponding it, we're not running it, we're surface distribution. So shouldn't create
surface
a problem.
Surface and subsurface, Okay.
Okay, very good. All right, we can move this one. This is the... E2, the task order number 1 with the WH Pacific. We'll move that one forward as well to the admin. All right. Next one is the master consulting agreement.
I'm confused. When you say we move forward to the admin, you mean to the weekly business session?
Weekly business session admin agenda.
There's
the admin calendar and the consent calendar.
Ah, so admin, we talk about consent.
This is our administrative meeting, our administration workshop, but we have the admin and the consent on the agenda.
More likely that you need to be there. You're going
to be there. I'm happy to be there to talk about it. Yeah.
We're just... where they go on the agenda.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Item E3 is the second master consulting agreement. This is precision approach. This is one for the IV airport.
Yes.
And the title is correct. It says IV. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, this is just like the first one, only it's IV and it's a different company.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Engineering. Any question on that, Commissioner Hare? Okay. We'll move that one also. Admin. Item 4 is the task order with precision approach. For the environmental and engineering design services at the Ivy Airport for the FAA AIP grant 007 for upgrade of the runway lighting, airport electrical services, and redesigned park ramps.
Actually, parking ramps.
I was going to say.
Aircraft parking ramps.
I was going to say, that should be parking, not park.
I may have misspelled that.
That's okay. We've got it. And so that's this one. And... any question on that, Commissioner?
Nope.
Okay, we can also move that one to admin.
Yeah, and I'll make myself available Wednesday for that.
Yes, we're going to need you.
Yeah, no problem. Okay.
And then that was 3, that's 4. So, okay, that concludes the airport
portion. Good.
Portion. And I know the airport days is coming up, so that's going to be. And the airport is also holding the... readers meeting for the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, August 10th.
The county's never done it. We've been a member of the Chamber, but I took it.
It's a fair.
And so.
Oh, we did? Fair?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And so.
Was Mary Gross, did she, was she involved in that? Okay, I'll call Mary and ask her how it went. Because I haven't done one of these, and I haven't even attended one, so.
You know, honestly, what would be really interesting is if you could provide, I mean, people drive, obviously, wherever it is.
Yeah.
It could be located anywhere in the county. They've had them all over the place, but. If there were anybody who needed transportation, talking to Scott Chancey.
Oh, sure. Set up a
bus shuttle from the chamber office.
Parking lot.
Just up over the hill.
It's a great suggestion.
Yeah, that is a good suggestion.
Because sometimes people won't make it happen. They don't know exactly where it is. They've never been there before. But if they could count on, just meet at the chamber building. It.
Good idea. Yeah. Because, we are sort of an outlier facility. At least it's not
Illinois
Valley.
There may not be enough parking at the chamber building, so what we might want to do
is
have them meet in our parking lot right over here. Meet in the parking lot across from the library.
Yeah, 4th and D. Or 4th and,
mm-hmm.
4th and C.
And they could have lots of parking. That way they could go out on a bus.
Okay. I'll call Scott. Set that up.
Yeah.
And then I'll coordinate.
I'll
call Colleen.
And see if that would be something that she would think would be helpful.
When is it you're doing that?
August 10, Wednesday morning.
Oh, good. So you've got a Wednesday before then to tell people.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you didn't, it wouldn't happen.
Oh, no, this has been on the schedule a long time.
I just meant to.
I can't get Colleen Roberts out of my head from Jackson
Martin.
County. Colleen Martin, thank you. Yeah. Okay. Yep, I'll call them this morning and get that set up, and then we'll pick two spots. Like, okay, so 5th and D parking lot, pick up at
the meeting
6:55, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, need like 20 minutes. You can figure that out
if it's possible first.
Yeah.
Right. I'll call. I have him listed. I'll call him first. Yeah. Yeah. We're already set up for bus transport for airport days.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're talking about stuff like that, I've approached Dutch Bros about supplying coffee for 70 people, because they're right there at the airport. So we'll make that happen. And then whatever, I'm supposed to have breakfast items for 70 people. Okay, I have it already at 7 o'clock at the airport.
Have you been to one?
No.
He's never been to one.
You should go to next Wednesday's.
Okay.
Ask Colleen where it is on Wednesday.
There's a lot going on. I know. I know it's not a small deal. So.
No, if you could... You show up and then just say that you have to leave early because you have to be at the weekly business session. You're on the admin side.
Sure.
Yeah, you just do your little pitch, pay your dollar, and go.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but you gotta get there early.
Well.
I know you do early.
Yeah. I would leave Ashland at 6 a.m. in order to do that. So.
Tell Ryan Hess you're going to be doing it, so he'll know.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. Thank you. And then we have the Grants Pass. Aviation Academy that we're running on the week of August 22nd and then the week of August 29th, the following week.
Are you doing two of them?
We're doing two. We're going to put 23 or 25 kids through the program.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 3 days, Monday, Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And it's all about aviation for junior high students, and it's going to be very exciting, I think, for the kids.
It will be.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right. Thank you much.
As he was doing.
I'm sorry?
What was Henry's class that he was
giving? Henry.
Alan Siffer?
Don't know.
He came down from, the Tillamook area. We were in a leadership conference together, and he said he was down here giving some sort of an aviation class. He worked for an aviation company.
When was this?
Last week.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't know. Yeah.
All right.
What is that?
Wasn't
something
facility.
I don't know.
It's
maybe. There's a lot going on out there.
There's a lot going on out there. Yes, there is. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. A lot of wonderful things going on out there.
Yeah.
Community development. We have Julie Schmelzer. Okay, this is the ordinance 2016-004, amending the text of the Rural Land Development Code.
Right, this goes back to beginning of the year when the commissioners had talked about the idea of possibly allowing agriculture in the industrial zones, and then we had the resolution actually give direction for staff to do that in April. So we had a public hearing on it on June 6th. And
so let's just be clear that the resolution didn't give that authority. It clarified something in commercial zones already, but there's no provision.
That was a different one.
I'm just, the resolution just clarified for the planning department
that there you could do agricultural productions in commercial zones. I could be getting this wrong, but it didn't address the industrial. That's why we're asking.
Right. The resolution directed us to look at allowing agriculture in industrial.
I'm thinking of a different resolution.
Yeah. We had an order. We had an order for the...
Clarifying.
Yes, and then we had this resolution.
For the director.
Two different things.
I see.
So, yeah. So this is about allowing agriculture in the industrial zones.
Right.
And just to give you a little, I guess, some information that we shared with the Plan Commission that day was, you know, normally I would not support reducing any of our industrial lands because we only have 1% of our land actually in industrial zones.
Right.
But they're sitting idle, and we're unable to market them at the current time. So allowing agriculture in those industrial zones would allow not just the processing of an ag product at those industrial sites, but the actual growing and production, basically, of them on those ag sites. Right now, we only have 3.5% of our land is in ag land, so allowing ag at the industrial sites would also allow us to increase our agricultural land base. And that's important for us because we've, actually, as far as ag sales in Oregon, we rank number 35 out of 36. So the more egg base we can have, of course, the more sales we can increase. And the fact that from 2007 to 2012, our egg land actually dropped by 25%. So this, again, allows us to increase that egg land base. So we presented this to the Plan Commission, and the recommendation, like I said, was to go ahead and make a recommendation to you to go ahead and allow egg uses in the industrial zones. I don't know if you have other questions about it.
I just want to ask, when it went to the Planning Commission, was there pushback from anyone? Was there, and I'm not talking about the Planning Commission, I'm talking about the public, or any concerns? Or any concerns that they brought up in regards to doing this, or objections of the public?
There was a little, if I remember, there was some, and it seemed to be more about, if I remember correctly, it was more about a big fear about marijuana. It centered solely on the marijuana industry. And although this will allow marijuana in the industrial zones, we were really trying to stress this is all agriculture. This isn't just marijuana. This is allowing all agriculture in these industrial zones.
Right.
So there was a lot of conversation about marijuana and should we allow marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And so the commission spent some good deal of time clarifying it. Not just marijuana, we're looking at
agriculture. So it could be hydroponics for it can be hydroponics for tomatoes or cucumbers. You know, it could be a lot of things.
Well, nursery is the leading agricultural commodity in the state.
Yes, it is. Nurseries are huge.
Right.
To do that.
And we do have, you know, there is right now the interest is from the marijuana growers, but that could change as the market changes as well. And you know, the good thing with allowing egg in the industrial areas is it's an easier land use to revert back. If we ever do need that land for,
you know, I grappled with that, but the market will determine that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not gonna. It doesn't make sense to me to restrict an industrial property from agricultural production when an industrial use isn't going to be able to garner the revenue that an ag crop would. You know, it seems like a no-brainer that you shouldn't even have that restriction. Industry should, you know, per square foot should generate more money than ag, and if it doesn't, then do ag. You know, do whatever's generating the kind of revenue.
Yeah, all we have to do is look at the, like she said, the industrial zones. They've been sitting vacant for 10, 20, 30 years, 40 years. They've been sitting empty.
It allows the reuse of those mill sites. It allows us to increase our ag base. Right now we only have 4% of our population is employed in agriculture. It allows us to increase that employment base as well. So.
And all of those are recorded statistics. And I would venture to say that if there was an assessment done on the ag production and it included the marijuana underground population included, employed in agriculture as an agricultural crop now, we're not 35, we're 3, you know.
I
go to the other side of the spectrum. So it's it's all relative to what you're including in that statistical analysis.
And, you know, we look at the National Ag Statistical Service for our statistics when looking at that. And, of course, they're not going to recognize marijuana because that's a federal agency.
Right.
So, again, just looking at ag and, you know.
Yeah, typical ag.
Typical ag. And I do try to keep saying in my mind, marijuana is no different than corn. It is, in the state of Oregon, an agricultural crop.
Right.
And we have to make accommodations to increase that, our ag industry, basically.
I think so. I mean, it's here, and I think one of the objectives that the goals that the board had was to just not be so focused on one sector of the vertical integration of the just the growing element of it. We need to be
processing.
Very, very open to processing and marketing, packaging,
retail.
Well, retail is never going to have, we don't have the population yet. Wholesale, that's that whole stuff. Ship it to Portland, but don't ship it to Portland in a wholesale in a trailer, you know, that's never been processed, to go to some really expensive per square foot warehouse where you're employing, you know, people with need for higher skills somewhere else. Do it here. So there's an opportunity for people who are in the production side, which maybe is low skill, and you can get into those other jobs where you're making more money and it's more of a family wage job. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, and
capturing more of that value added.
Yeah, I was just going to say the value added is really where we can make some money on this, yeah, and hopefully have it
positive
in a
the
legal
economy.
Market.
Yeah,
right. I think over time, right now, you know, the growers are making a lot of money, but over time, that's going to settle down, and it's going to be in the value added.
Yeah,
just like other agricultural products,
right.
It's
exactly
going to be in the value added.
And that happens where, but usually on industrial land.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is really good.
Thank
I'll
you.
I'll simply be looking. This was one element of the code that the previous director thought was a pretty good place to look. But, you know, as this market, as this industry develops, there's going to be other things. And I'm sure you're looking at it. I just reviewed your frequently asked questions on the website.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really good. There were a couple of suggestions I had, but I gave away my copy, and I think that's what I wrote them on. So I'll review it again and say, maybe this would be clearer or
yeah,
something like that.
Give me any, again, that's a living document.
Yeah.
Because, of course, as
totally,
we do amendments, that changes that document. I just got an email this morning from Oregon Health Authority where they took Josephine's FAQs and they sent it out to all the agencies, to OMMP and OLLC, saying, look at what Josephine County put out. So we do want to
sure,
keep it live on that website.
Is it
that
accurate? Is this who we should be referring to? Or
yeah,
it could have changed, you know, Department of Agriculture, mm-hmm, and Water, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so we'll keep changing it.
Mm-hmm. We announced it yesterday at our weekly business session, which of course is broadcast, because that way people will know that it's on there and they can refer to it. So it'll probably start getting more use as people start having issues, because I refer them to the site.
Good.
So there are some questions and answers there. There's also some numbers for reference so that you can go to the correct authority,
sure,
when you have questions or issues. So,
And I had asked Sean Hall if he would do a story on it as well,
mm-hmm,
to help people know that there is this,
yeah,
resource out there. Because I will say right now it is very overwhelming to field all the complaints we're getting.
Oh, for sure.
When
oh,
a very
sure,
small portion of them are really
yours,
ours.
Yeah.
So this hopefully will help calm that down.
Yeah.
So I guess before we go further with this, I just want to give a little update where we're at on some of the other amendments that we were directed
to. Can
you
explain the process of this first before we leave this one? So the Rural Planning Commission heard it. Is it necessary for the board to go through its own hearing process? I mean,
yeah,
we have to have a formal hearing
ordinance
for the first reading, but we don't have to go through the public of, like, a de novo hearing as you would a land use case that the Rural Planning Commission has already heard.
We treat this like any other ordinance.
Yeah, okay, it's treated like any other ordinance, and you have the two readings on it.
But a land use ordinance, like the Sunny Valley, they hear it. We hear a de novo on the issue. This is not one of those situations.
But that's because it was appealed.
No. No, the first version of it, it was... That's just the way the land use process is.
But that was a land use application.
I know, and this is to do with the amending the Rural Land Development Code. That's all I'm asking is the
yeah,
fact that we don't have to go through
no,
that same process,
no,
which seems incredibly redundant.
No.
Waste of time. This is great. So
yeah,
we're setting the first and second reading.
Yeah. Yep, they're in August.
Perfect.
Yeah. So.
Great.
And then there's that appeal period before it can actually
sure,
become
90
effective.
Days.
So I think it's actually mid-November before it's truly effective.
Well, I think that was complying with our timeline, and
mm-hmm,
so the people next year can
for the next crop season.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Yeah. And my understanding was you wanted it done in 6 months, but it did take 7 months.
Okay.
That's okay. That's a good job.
That's some changing.
And you were new, so
yes, 5 days on the job. So
okay, great. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. This is for the first reading. First reading is going to be this week, right?
It's if you look on the sheet, no. It's I think it's August 6th or
on 17th. Let's say schedule public hearing for first reading of the ordinance on August 17th.
Okay.
And second reading on August 31st. So I'm sorry, I have her papers because I couldn't get my computer booted up right now.
Sorry, so long.
Because there has to be that, we have to put it in the paper.
Publish.
And,
The publish issues?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So
and you will be there to address it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Moving on.
Yes, and then I just wanted to real quickly just give you a brief update, if I can.
Sure.
On the other amendments regarding that staff was directed to look at. It has really grown into a massive monster. I'm on page 5 of recommendations because I explained the current code and then the proposal. And really, it's really difficult to just look at the rural residential area. We really have to touch on basically almost every part of that code, looking at access and noise and odor. And I mean, it's really grown to be quite an animal. It's exciting to go through it because to see all the stuff that we can be doing that we shouldn't be doing already by code. And again, that goes back to, you know, we don't have the code enforcement person, but we don't have the ability to enforce it, which makes that tough. We've talked about that. But there's also so many other areas that when you do hear a recommendation, it's going to be more than just on rural residential. And, of course, it's up to you to decide what you move forward and what you don't. But there's actually, it's going to be a pretty extensive recommendation, and I hope it resolves a lot of the issues and conflicts that we're having out there.
Great.
For efficiency, it's probably good for you to check in with the board to say yay or nay before you invest a tremendous amount of time. I know it's actually a really interesting exercise to probably learn every nuance of the code, but at the same time, so that we're meeting a timeline so people have expectations about what to do for next season, at some point you're going to have to put something forward that's maybe not perfect and it isn't comprehensive, but it accomplishes what we're hearing is the, you know, probably the fence issue. You went through the list of stuff that you heard.
Yes,
so yeah, maybe we would like to do stuff on something over here, but it's not one of the top three issues that we really want to make sure we are addressing before next season.
Yes.
So maybe that's, I don't know. I can feel where you could be. It's overwhelming. I mean, how all of this stuff interplays. At the end of the day, we may not. What kind of change can we affect? Maybe we can't affect perfect code. And even if we could, we don't have the code enforcement officers to enforce it. But what are those three issues that we can do?
Right. So my plan right now is to review this with a small little ad hoc group. And I've talked to you a little bit about that. I've got some people that have come forward and said they'd give us feedback on it. I also want to send it out to the agencies for review and then WALI, actually, before I go, you know, mainstream with something to the Planning Commission. I'm still shooting for August. You know, we've only been working on it a month, but I still want to get the whole thing adopted into the process yet in 2016.
Okay.
So when we start January, everybody's on the same page.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and I could bring bits and pieces as an informational thing. I think I could. I don't want to bring a document to you because, you know, of course it goes to the Planning Commission, and
sure,
if there's appeals and problems, we don't want to have problems with that. But
right, we don't want
to. Yeah, I can just continue to give updates as
Yeah, information and just general steering. What I don't want is for you to be investing a lot of time having other people try to establish policy that is 180 degrees opposed to what, you know, if we were all on the same page that we didn't want setbacks at all. And you're investing time in setbacks of operations, of grows, of irrigation equipment, and all that. And we're like, you didn't have to do any of that because we're not approving setbacks, just as an example.
Yeah.
And that's probably not accurate. But
yeah, and what I've done is I've listened to the 4 meetings.
Yeah.
And then the complaints that come in, and then the comments that the commissioners received as well. And those, and what I've heard from commissioners, and those are the main things that I focused on. But sometimes you can't look at one without looking at the other.
Oh, sure.
So that's where it's just kind of just a little monster in itself.
Okay.
All right?
Yes.
Thank you.
I have an issue. The rocket soil application, I think it's really, I've requested that the board be kept up to speed on this. Unfortunately, we're all receiving calls. I don't think Commissioner Walker is receiving.
I got one yesterday, and I contacted Julie.
What I'm interested in is that we're all talking off the same page. Yeah, there could be an appeal, but right now I'm already inundated with information that may or may not be accurate. That doesn't subject me to a ex parte. If there is a pending land use issue, I don't know of an application, but I heard there was a 23rd deadline. I don't know what that is. So if I don't have that information, I don't have the ability to say, oh, wait, you've got something pending. I need to not talk to you anymore. So it's information like that that's really key. For me, what I'm most interested in, I understand the challenges, but I think if you're qualified, you're the planning director, coming up with creative solutions as to how we deal with this issue long term is really key for me. I mean, I respect the private property rights. They get a zone from us, the state. You get to do what the zone tells you you can do. That's just the way it is. But how do we fix it long term? Because I don't think this industry, this person's business right next to the park and the conflict with the neighbors, is ever going to go away. You know, you could try to put restrictions on stuff, but at the end of the day, that's their business to do what they're doing. And maybe it just shouldn't be there. And so, does the county have any kind of a process of like, why don't you try this industrial piece of property? Yeah, it isn't, doesn't have all the permits or whatever, but we're gonna work with you to get that stuff done, and then we're gonna work with you to rezone the piece of property you bought, the intended use, as it's zoned, for something that's more like to the neighborhood, and sign like some sort of an agreement that just says, you will do these things and we will do these things in this amount of time, so that we can get these kind of resolved.
Sure. Well, that's two things that I'll address real quick. So one is long-term is, that ages ago, that should have been looked at and rezoned. I mean, why do we have industrial zone land right next to a city park and right adjacent to a city like that? So those are some things that should have been looked at over the years. We've inherited them now, so we're dealing with that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is with commissioners, as far as when I got here, what I did say was, if you get questions and you want updates or information, let me know and I'll give you the information that you can respond to them, or just forward them to me. And that's what Keith and Cheryl have been doing pretty much. So anytime Simon,
I don't understand how Jeff Page. This is the number one complaint that I have received in the last 3 months. How is it in the transition of his position that he's got two commissioners that have been dealing with him on this issue, that it wasn't brought to your attention as something that we needed to? I mean, I've had a half a dozen email exchanges, phone calls with him, have a record of all of those, and that's a shortcoming on that transition, that somehow there wasn't that understanding that we had. This is the number one complaint thing that I get every week, and it's not just the two or three, the whole IV. That was one of their topics that the city council wanted to talk about at the last quarterly meeting. That's how the threshold is for that.
And I know since I've been here the first time, I heard you got complaints with this past week. Other than that, I haven't received any from you. But I will say this, since I've been here, we've been working on that file. So what happened is, we sent them the notice that they were in violation. They contacted us. The ordinance says they get a year to submit the paperwork. And I said, no, they're getting 30 days. It's a violation. That's it. And they did comply with the 30-day deadline. They did come in and they got everything.
Just real quick, how do you make a determination if an ordinance, I don't have the authority to change an ordinance?
It's a violation. So, we could, if I said, okay, you got a year to get your application in, imagine the calls you'd be getting.
No, I'm perfectly fine to take a call when an ordinance says, we will do this by charter, by ordinance, and I don't really have a choice. Because that's what the ordinance says. Yeah, we're going to have to work on that ordinance. That's why we're codifying them, to figure out what are those things that are like, you don't deserve a year. But if the ordinance says that you deserve a year, I don't understand. I don't have the authority to change that.
It does give the planning director certain authorities in that.
Okay.
Like I can make, if there's a controversial.
I'm glad they complied with it, but it seems like.
No, it actually gives the planning director a lot of latitude.
Okay.
For example, there could be an application there that doesn't have to go to a public hearing, and I can say, we're going to send it to a public hearing.
Sure.
I mean, so it's got a lot of latitude in it for that.
Okay.
So, but they did comply, and like I said, they met the deadline, and Right now, Nora's working on the notifications that have to go along with that. But, I mean, since I've been here, that has been moving right along. So
good.
Jeff did,
Oh, no, I don't fault him. He has been really good with keeping up with the public, the two major complainers, complainants in that area, and the business itself. So that's great.
Yeah, and one of the faults, and I will say this in the code, which has to be addressed, is it does allow so much time. I mean, these violations drag out because there's so, you know, give them 30 day notice, give them a 15 day, you know, some of that stuff. So they do take a while, and people get really impatient. And, you know, we ask people to be patient with us and through the process. But I understand, you know, if they're a neighbor and they don't like what they're hearing or seeing, they're going to keep complaining, as they should. So, but no, we're on top of that one.
Okay.
So, sorry.
Well, keeping us informed is really, really key.
Okay.
And is, do you have anyone applied yet for or any application process on the code enforcement?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we interviewed last Tuesday. We narrowed it down, and Carlton was going to send the letter out this week, and I talked to him today, and he had four other new hires, so he's a little behind on that. But he said he'd get it out to her today, make contact with her today.
Okay.
But, yes, it's somebody that we are thrilled with. She's a private investigator. She has 17 years in the private investigation field, had her own business. She, in the interview, she talked about how she would have to go out and serve subpoenas and deal with angry and upset people all the time, and she understands
that's
a lot about that. Yeah, and just the personality and her, how she described to us how she deals with people or approaches people, and, you know, we want them to work with us. We don't want to be adversarials, but we need to get compliance. We were just really, really pleased with her, and we were trying to get her on board for to start Monday, but it looks like it's going to be the week after that. So, okay. Her name is Denise.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. All right. Number three, this is IT, quarterly update. We don't have IT.
John was around, but he probably...
He's doing phone training.
Oh, he is.
He's what?
He's doing phone training.
I'm fine with whatever he gets around.
But we'll reschedule him another time. Okay. Board business. We have a resolution number 2016-051. And that's for the reappointment of the Local Alcohol and Drug Planning Committee. That is a reappointment of Danny Huber-Cantola. And
Sean said yes, but his attendance record isn't very good. and I understand he has responsibilities at Three Rivers, or excuse me, District 7. But that's a consideration for me, that it just be emphasized that, you know, for appointing you as the representative of District 7, if you're not able to attend, you need to provide a substitute, because it's pretty key what they're doing. Most of their focus is on team, and they need to have that interface. And maybe they have it outside of this meeting. I don't know. I'm prepared to move forward, but I think if we could iterate to Sean, Keith is the liaison to that. But reading the minutes, Mr. Kendall was. I don't know that he makes very many.
Shall we move this forward and then just have Keith
make a recommendation?
Okay. I'm amenable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we'll move this forward to the consent. Any other matters from commissioners?
Nope.
Any liaison updates?
Not really.
Okay.
Do you have any?
And I'm just thinking if I have any updates.
We've kind of gone through most of our...
Yeah, we have. I've kind of gone through them here as we've had people come in at the airport and that.
And I mentioned the report on parks yesterday at the weekly business session. Everything's going well.
Okay. Any other miscellaneous items?
No.
All right. Being none, we are adjourned at 10:20 a.m.